This is the AV15, a production of the Atlantic Voice podcast. If you've got quarter of an hour for us, then we've got 15 minutes for you. Grab your Venti Skinny Double Whip Mocha Latte, your cup of tea with milk and two sugars, or something with bubbles in it if that's your fancy, and spend the next 15 minutes with us here at the Atlantic Voice. This is the AV15. On the line with me is our good friend Cameron from down in Austin, Texas. Cameron's on the show because he emailed us after our George Clooney special the other week, where we talked about George Clooney, and first up, you felt we didn't give enough love to two movies that you like, Solaris and The American. So you're here to defend those movies in light of our George Clooney special.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm here to defend the movies. But I'm certainly willing to lend an opinion.
Well, why don't you lend us an opinion first on The American? Because Eric and I talked about that film, and we didn't talk much about it, but I know I like it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched it with a friend, and I hyped it up. I'm like, it was a great Clooney movie, and this person was, you know, they said, well, all the Clooney plays the same character in all these movies. And I said, no, this is different. I don't necessarily agree with that, but, you know, he definitely plays a different character in this role. And then watched the movie, and this person actually hated the movie.
Why didn't they like it?
The expectation is that, I think they expect it to be a little more, maybe not quite Bourne Identity or James Bond-like, but really, the movie's more about a psychological, more of a psychological thriller, I would say, than it is anything else. I don't even know if it's a psychological thriller. It's more of a psychological study of a guy.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when that film came out, there were a lot of reviews that compared it to The Day of the Jackal, in that it had one protagonist, and the protagonist was ultimately, you know, for want of a better word, a villain. But I even felt that was an unfair comparison, because The Day of the Jackal is a very traditional thriller with the villain, and he's got a goal, and there are people trying to stop him. The American, you're right, it's a psychological study.
Yes, that's all. That's really all it is, with a little bit of action. And the action, to me, is really well-balanced. It builds up very slowly. I'm not sure I've seen sequences like that take so long to build up, but they're effective. You know, the tension rises and then it falls away, then it rises higher, then it falls away, then it rises even higher. And I enjoyed that. And you know, we'll really talk about it, but it apparently, I believe this is it was intended to be shot like it was one of those 70s type movies, where I think they're using long lenses. The shots are longer, so they're not switching between cameras as often. And I like that style, too. I just like that kind of that throwback to that 70s style. It's, you know, I appreciate someone taking a risk in making a movie. And I thought they did, and to an extent, I think they paid for that. But I enjoyed all aspects of the movie, from the acting to the storyline to the cinematography. I thought it was excellent.
You know, that's a great point about it being sort of a throwback to films from 70s. And I know Eric and I talked at length about Michael Clayton, which I know is a film that you have an opinion about. But I remember saying during the podcast that Michael Clayton was sort of a throwback to sort of the 70s type thriller. And Clooney definitely, you know, he really likes to do films that reflect sort of cinema's past. And, you know, that The American, I think that's the reason why a lot of people don't like it, because it is, I don't want to say slow, but it is very deliberate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, and you do, you have to, if you're there for something else, then you're going to be disappointed. Uh-huh. But if you're there for this great study, and like I say, it really is just about, it's just about this guy. And I think Clooney's terrific in, you know, he doesn't do a lot. He doesn't have to talk a lot. He doesn't get to get by on his sort of stereotypical Clooney traits. I mean, that's one of the reasons you like the film, isn't it?
Yeah, and also I think you hit that point about there's not a lot of dialogue. And so how do you create an effective movie without a lot of dialogue? And yet, you know, the story builds slowly, but it builds. And I love that. I enjoy when I'm not faced with a typical cookie cutter. I know what's going to you can figure out by a third of the way through or even halfway through what the movie's going to be, how it's going to end, and then you're just along for the ride. And I just went into it, and my tendency now for movies is I don't want to hear anything about the movie. So I had no idea what the movie was about when I first saw it. So, yeah, I thought it really built up well and enjoyed it. And those are some of the same characteristics as why I like Solaris.
Well, we're going to get to Solaris in a moment.
Yeah, as much as I take grief for liking The American, I just get crushed by people when I say I like Solaris.
Do you remember, was Clooney kind of tubby in The American? I'm trying to think back now.
He had a beard, didn't he? No, he was pretty fit.
Okay, that's right. But he had a beard. Did he have a beard in that film? I'm getting my Clooney puts on weight and Clooney has facial hair movies all confused. Cause...
Siriana, yes. Tubby,
yes,
and beard.
Tubby and beard.
The American fit and no facial hair.
All right, so I'm going to give you a chance now to defend Solaris. Now, I know on the show we didn't get into this film in depth. Eric just decided to hammer me about my own opinions of science fiction movie making. But, I watched it, and I didn't find it a bad movie. I just found there just didn't seem to be much going on. So defend, and for those people that don't know, Solaris is actually, I don't know if it's a true remake, but it was inspired. There was a movie back in the 70s, early 70s, a Russian movie, the original Solaris. That thing is like 4.5 hours long. There's black and white sequences. That is pretty painful viewing. One, if you don't speak Russian, and two, if you don't like science fiction. This remake is only about an hour and 50 minutes. It's got George Clooney in it and... what's her name? I think Natasha McElhone or something.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember the. Didn't she win? She's been up for an Academy Award recently.
Oh, really?
I can't remember her name. She's African American. She plays one of the other people on the ship. But anyway, she's in it. But really, I mean, it's Clooney. I mean, it's pretty much him.
And I remember it's all to do with him going up to the space station, and then basically, I think on the space station, like, because of where it is, it's sort of, then he starts having flashbacks about his dead wife.
Right, and, So let me be clear. I am not on this show to defend the movie, because I've given up for enough people to have just... extremely critical of this movie. I'm simply here to state why I enjoy the movie. So the first time I saw it, I thought it was terrible. I really did, because I thought Soderbergh, Clooney, this is going to be just like The American. This is going to be a lot of people's view of The American. It's going to be action. It's going to be this really interesting story. Cool, great. Sat through it, got to the end, I'm like, what the heck was that? This is nothing about what I expected. And then I don't know how it ended up in my DVD collection, so I don't know. I probably ran through all the other movies I had. I'm like, all right, let me try Solaris again. And the second time I saw it, I realized there's going to be no action. This really isn't a sci-fi movie. I didn't view it as a sci-fi movie. I viewed it more as a psychological study.
No, it just happens to be set in space, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And his wife was coming back because he kept on dreaming about her, and there's something about this planet that allowed your dreams to propagate into a real person showing up. And, it had a deep sadness to it because he had so much, his wife killed herself because he was breaking up with her. And he was living with that guilt. And it's almost as though that planet allowed him to almost take back the regret he had. Now, he's taking back regret about, this person really isn't his wife, even though it looks like her, talks like her. She eventually knows, this person on the ship knows that she really isn't his wife, but still, it plays out that, you know, he wants to protect her. And, you know, in the end, he, the one of the other people on the ship goes back to Earth, and he stays on the ship and essentially dies there, because he wanted to spend that time with his wife that wasn't really his wife. But it said how much he really, really missed her, that he was willing to essentially die just to spend more time with her. So once I kind of wrapped my head around what it was about, it's like, oh, it's really a pretty powerful movie that really isn't a sci-fi flick. It's more about sadness and regret and trying to make up for it. So that's, in the end, that's why I liked it.
Well, you know,
because it really was nothing to do with what anybody originally went in to see the movie, at least what they expected.
I didn't think it was a great film, but I am going to say this in terms of what you've just said about it. I really feel like you've actually done a pretty good job of encouraging people to give it a go if they didn't give it a go the first time by basically pointing out to them that it's not a space movie. And I want to say this about George Clooney. For some reason, I find him the most unbelievable astronaut ever. I wasn't a fan of Gravity. I've now seen him in two space movies, and I'm like, yeah, I don't believe that George Clooney is. Astronauts do not appear to be like George Clooney. You can put Ben Affleck in space, and I'm going to believe that. You put George Clooney in space, I don't believe that. But anyway, you've given a pretty good job of selling Solaris. I want to ask you about one more movie series while I've got you on, in our sort of follow-up to the Atlantic Voice, looking at the career of George Clooney. I criticize these movies, but I know you personally, and I think I may have alluded to it in the show. You're a big fan of the Oceans movies, aren't you?
Yeah, I do. I do enjoy them.
Why do you enjoy them? Because you know that I'm not a big fan of them.
Yeah, I take them for really. First of all, I saw the original Ocean's 11.
Oh yeah,
that much like the original Solaris.
It's like the original Solaris. Yeah, that movie sucks.
Crap. I mean, my God, it's as though, like, you know, the Rat Pack guys are like, you know what? Let's just turn on a film. Like, let's turn on the camera, and we'll just start saying stuff because it is terrible. So, having said that, I like it because it's just lighthearted. It's kind of it's not about robbing someone. It's just about a bunch of guys. I don't know, just being silly and goofy and having fun. And I like how their characters play out. I actually liked the second one better, Ocean's 12. I don't know, just more from a humor standpoint. I just kind of laugh and smile. It's not great acting. There's nothing amazing about the story. It's just, it's cool guys having fun, doing something that, you know, you kind of wish, yeah, I guess if I had a lot of money and I had some skills and maybe I would try something like that. Of course I wouldn't, but, you know, you just kind of, it's more of just lighthearted comedy is what I enjoy about it, not because it's an interesting, you know, how these guys are able to break into things.
Well, I want to touch on something you said there, though, because I was quite hard. I've always been quite hard on those films, but I will say this. I like the humor, especially the interaction between some of the second tier stars, like I think Ben Affleck's brother, Casey Affleck, and then Scott Kahn's, as it's Scott Kahn, I think, is James Kahn's boy.
Yeah.
And when they're on, I actually really like the film. But I do feel that when the big stars are sort of on screen, I don't know, I just start to lose my way. I'd rather watch those sort of films with just the secondary stars. I don't know, I'd probably enjoy them more, but I always feel a little bit that when Clooney's on, I feel like he's kind of slumming it a little bit, and I don't know. Maybe that's why I've always been a bit.
I don't know. I think he's just having fun. I like when he's making the pitch to Brad Pitt about doing the heist, and then Pitt's like, "You've been practicing that a lot," and Clooney's like, "Yeah, did it come off well?" And I just like how they're just, you know, it's just lighthearted fun. And then at the end, was it the end of the first one? Yeah, it was when he picks him up at the
prison.
And one of them says to the other, What's his name? I'm trying to remember the crappy Michigan rock star who from the 70s who one says, hey, he wants his suit back. But anyway, so it's just lighthearted, little quick little, you know, jabs that they take at each other that make it entertaining and fun. And I actually think Julie Roberts is pretty good. I actually yes. really like her in the second one. I didn't really like her in the first one. She played a really uptight, kind of stiff type of a role, and I didn't think that was she was okay in that. But the second one, I actually thought she was really good. She was funny, especially when she played herself, and everybody's treating her as if she's not, you know, really Julia Roberts.
Yes.
And I thought that was a funny part of the movie. So I didn't like her in the first one. I thought she was good, but I thought her playing herself in the second one was very entertaining and good.
All right, so Cameron has come on the show to bail me out because I didn't have a regular guest this week. So, Cameron, exit question for you. Do you have a favorite George Clooney movie and why?
Favorite movie. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? He's great. That's one of my favorites. The American, another one. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? It's just, he's playing kind of that lighthearted slapstick, but he throws a character behind it.
Yeah.
So I like that combination where he's able to do both and just play a character. You're like, I'm not sure I've seen this character played in any movie in the last 20 or 30 years. So, you know, I like how that plays out. The Professional, just because he plays it pretty straight and it's still, it's a lot of, just a lot of film of him acting and not necessarily saying a whole lot, but I thought he pulls that off well. I'm trying to think of other ones. What was your favorite?
I mean, I've always liked. I love Michael Clayton, but I'll say
yeah.
also.
Yeah, that is the best movie he's been in. He was fantastic.
And I also like out of his movies, and I don't necessarily think he's the best thing in it. I like Three Kings a lot. I think that, to me, that was like the first, that was earlier in his sort of film career. I like Three Kings a lot, although ultimately I like it a lot because I actually think Marky Mark is really good in it. But I know I hate to be all like sort of cinema geeky, but I really feel like the films he's directed. I mean, I would tell anyone if someone says to me, I want to watch a George Clooney film, then I'm going to say, okay, he's in this film, but watch it because he directed it. I think Good Night and Good Luck is brilliant. And I think everyone in that is great, and it's filmed in black yep. and white. And I yep. would say to anyone, and Clooney's in it, but he's not really, he's yep. like a supporting character.
Right.
But
yep.
but yeah, I think out of the films he's been in, I've always enjoyed Three Kings.
Yep.
But again, I mean, I will say this for George Clooney, and I don't think Eric and I really said this enough at the end of it. He's sort of like the seal of approval, because I can't think of a bad George Clooney film.
Yeah, I mean,
even Solaris.
One he did. There was one he did where he was, I can't remember, he was in like it was kind of a funny slapstick. He was a football player.
The Leathernecks.
Yeah, like I saw parts of that and I thought it was entertaining, but it got panned. I think it got panned. Let me just take a quick look on IMDb.
Yeah, it got panned.
Yeah, it didn't, but he played, you know, this character that I thought was pretty funny, so. You know, one other movie that I think is a great movie, and he plays a character that, again, you normally don't see him play. Siriana, he plays a CIA operative, field agent, and
yeah.
he's really good. He packed on about 40 pounds.
Yeah.
I think he ended up getting injured in one of the scenes, but that he actually did. But I thought he played that role really well, really different than what he usually does, so.
You mentioned Siriana, and I kind of alluded to it briefly. I go through life, you know, because of my salt and pepper hair getting mistaken for George Clooney. But you've known me a long time.
I've been there when people walk up to you, George.
Oh, yeah. But actually what people are doing, they're confusing me with the packed-on 40 pounds George Clooney from Siriana.
Well, that may have been 10 years ago. You actually are so much bleak today. So you're starting to get more of that Clooney-esque-ness back. Which, good for you.
All right. Well, Cameron, thanks for helping me out this week and being on the show, because you did email us with your George Clooney comments on the George Clooney podcast.
I was a little disappointed in some of the Solaris comments, but I'm glad I at least got a chance to state why it's not a crappy movie.
Thanks, man.
All right. Talk to you later.
You've been listening to the AV15, a production of the Atlantic Voice podcast. If you'd like to be on the AV15, email us at atlanticvoice@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. And remember, all AV15s and all episodes of the Atlantic Voice podcast can be found on iTunes. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.